Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast with David Baker. David was a former paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division and for over 30 years has been a preacher. He has written 5 books and is an Amazon number one best-selling author. He is the chaplain at the county jail, pastors a church, and is the father of 11 children. Yes, 11. This podcast is here to give you wisdom for your family, your marriage, your children, your finances, your health, and your life. And now, the host of Wisdom of Life podcast, David Baker.
Hello and welcome. My name is David Baker. Welcome to the Wisdom for Life podcast. We're glad that you're here. Have some good things for you today. Hopefully something funny. Hopefully we will, quote, learn you something. And so before we get started, make sure that you like us and give us a good star review. If you have a question, email askpastorbaker@gmail.com, askpastorbaker@gmail.com. And if you want to watch on video ever, you can go to the YouTube channel or the Rumble channel. And if you want to follow us on Facebook, David Mark Baker. All right, first we're going to learn you something. Did you know that a horse racing jockey won a race even after he died? Frank Hayes was hailed as the winner of a race at Belmont Park right outside of New York City, 1923. However, there was a slight problem. He suffered a heart attack and died in the middle of the race, so the celebration wasn't exactly sweet, okay? But he did. He won the race and got counted for the win. All right, a joke. Last week I had a long joke. Boy, I listened back to that. It was a long joke, sort of cute. But all right, short one today. A man looked a little worried when the doctor came in to administer his annual physical. So the first thing the doctor did was ask him whether anything was troubling him. "Well, to tell you the truth, doc, yes," answered the patient. "You see, I seem to be getting forgetful. No, it's actually worse than that. I'm never sure I can remember where I put the car, whether I answered a letter, or where I'm going, or what it is I'm doing once I get there, if I get there. So I really need your help. What can I do?" The doctor mused for a moment and then answered in his kindest tone, "Please pay me in advance." Didn't want him to forget that he actually worked on him. So, by the way, my memory's that way. Sometimes, did I tell that joke? Sometimes, did I preach that sermon? I'll have to go in and search for my sermons. I'll have an idea like, boy, that's a really good idea. I'm working on a sermon. Like, wait, did I preach that? And so sometimes you preach it in your mind so much, it seems like you preached it, but you really didn't. So yes, that will happen to you when you get old also. All right. But all right. Things I love. Boy, I love church. I probably said that before, but that's okay. I love church. I'm recording this on a Sunday as when I'm going out of town for a few days to go to a preaching conference. And boy, I just got done with Sunday. What a great day. People saved, people helped, people reached, people encouraged, great music, great fellowship, smiles, just joy. I love church. Boy, I love church. Things I hate, people who don't get to enjoy church. People who don't get to enjoy church. Boy, you think about the countries where it's illegal to meet. They're having to meet underground and be quiet about everything. How hard would that be? People who don't have a church. Some of them have no idea what they're missing. Or others who have a church, but it's dead and it's fake. It's just a waste of time. I grew up in a church like that as a teenager. Wasn't a good thing. Wasn't a good thing. I hate people who don't get to enjoy it. Don't get to enjoy church. All right, a quote. Again, all these people that I'm quoting, I'm not 100% following them, but it's a good quote, and so I'll give him credit for it. Nelson Mandela said, "The greatest glory in living lies not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall." The greatest glory in living lies not in never failing, but in rising every time we fall. And a lot of people have quotes like that and not quitting and not giving up. That's really a big deal. You just keep on going in secular life, in Christianity. You keep on going. You don't quit. It's amazing, amazing, amazing what can happen. All right. Bible trivia. So last week, how many books in the New Testament? Embarrassingly easy, wasn't it? All right. 27. And this week, what type insect did John the Baptist eat in the desert? Okay, what type insect did John the Baptist eat in the desert? Sounds like fun, right? Put a little chocolate on them, crunch, crunch, crunch away. So, nope, don't like that, don't want that. So our thought for the day, a little lesson for the day, I want to tell you how to have a great day, how to have a best day, how to create a good day. My pastor would teach us often, like, make a science of your life. Make a science of a day. If you had a good day, look back and see what you did and make another one. If you had a bad day, look and see what you did and don't make one of those again. That's pretty simple. Someone said, yeah, I had a really bad day and it started when I got out of bed. So I'm not going to do that today. All right. So I don't know you can get by with that very many days, but how to make a good day. And I'm going to use a story in the Bible about the children of Israel, a great, great day that they had. Before I do that, let me catch you up a little on history. I'm sure most people listening to this already know that. But the children of Israel started with Abraham, and they were called the patriarchs. We call them the patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the oldest of the family, became the patriarch and led the family. Okay, and so they were under the patriarchs back then. After that were the judges, started with Moses. Okay, Moses was the first judge of the children of Israel. Then Joshua, all the way to Samuel. Okay, Samuel was also a prophet, by the way, a prophet and a judge. Then it came to the kings. Okay, we have Saul, we have David, we have Solomon, and then the kingdom split. Northern kingdom called Israel, southern kingdom called Judah. The king of the northern empire, Israel, was Jeroboam. The king of the southern empire was called Judah, and the king was Rehoboam. Okay, you can jokingly call them the Boam boys, but they were not brothers, okay? But Jeroboam in the north, Rehoboam in the south. Israel, the northern kingdom, got away from God earlier, were taken away captive by the Assyrians, and then later Judah also went away from God, and Judah was destroyed and taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylons, and they were in captivity for 70 years. 70 years, okay? Why were they in captivity for 70 years? Very specific. God said that the land should rest for 1 year out of seven. 6 years, plant, grow crops. 1 year, let it rest. Let it rest. I'll take care of you. I'll give you enough in the sixth year to live during the seventh and plant crops still. Guess how often the children of Israel did that? Zero, none, nada. They didn't trust God. They had to do it themselves. So after 490 years, God said, all right, I'm going to get my Sabbath back. So he took 70 years and sent them into captivity, and the land lied waste. Pretty interesting. God requires that which is past. God called me to preach. I didn't want to preach, so I ran, did my own thing. God said, I'm still going to require that. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God's not going to change his mind to that. God still calls us and wants us to do that. And so the children of Israel are now in captivity. They're in Babylon. Okay. After the 70 years, God let them start coming back. And so you have Ezra, the book of Ezra, who came back. He was a scribe, priest. He came back and helped rebuild the temple. Then you have Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. He came back and helped to rebuild the wall. Okay, you can read those stories and great things. In Nehemiah chapter 8, they found the book of the law. They found the book of the law. By the way, that happened other times. In King Josiah, they also found the book of the law and had a great day reading it. So Nehemiah, they found the book of the law. They've not had it for at least 70 years. And Ezra the priest read it before the congregation from morning until midday. Okay? Hours. Read it from morning till midday. The Bible said the people were attentive. Imagine, all right, next Sunday, here we go. We're going to just read the Bible for 4 hours. How would you do? How long would you make it? Sorry, before you'd be snoring, okay? They read the word of the Lord from morning until midday. The people understood it. They were attentive to it. And boy, they were blessed by that. Then they read some more, and they read every day. These people had a great day. You know why? Number one, they started out with the book of the law. They started out with the book of the law. Do you start out your day that way? Hey, every day you ought to start out with the book of the law. Every day you start out with the Bible. Start out with reading. Start out with praying. Start out spending time with God. Start out with the Bible, okay? It's like, oh, I'm busy. I don't have time. By the way, they heard. They didn't have their own copy. They had it read to them. Hey, how about that? How about get the Bible on your phone? Probably most of you do, and get one with an audio version. I use YouVersion because it's Alexander Scorby reading it. Make sure it's set to King James, and we can listen. What a great thing! How long does it take you when you, from the time you get up in the morning, to get ready, get dressed, get showered, get eaten, get on the road, and to drive to work. For many people, that whole thing is an hour. Imagine if you just listened to the Bible for an hour before you started your day. Boy, will that get you in tune? Will that help you to have a great day? It did for these people. They had a great day. Started it listening to the Bible. Listening to the Bible, okay? Next, what did they do and what was said? Verse number 10, this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We heard that phrase, there's a song, the joy of the Lord is your strength. But what is it? What is it? Interesting, I looked this up. I prepare sermons from the Bible, and every once in a while I'll go look and see what somebody else has to say about something. And so I looked this up in a few different places, and it was amazing. They talk about the joy of the Lord being your joy. And that's not what it says. The joy of the Lord. What's the Lord's joy? What's the Lord's joy? God's saying here, the joy of the Lord. When God has joy, then he will give you strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You want strength? Then give joy to the Lord. How do we give joy to the Lord? There may be other places, but boy, the one that I found, the one that I love, Luke 15:10, it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Joy in the presence of the angels. A lot of times we think of the angels as having joy and singing and singing and singing. That's not what it says. Now, the angels may be having joy, but it says there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. Who is in the presence of the angels of God? The Lord. The angels are round about the Lord. Who is rejoicing? Who has joy when one person gets saved more than anyone? Of course, the Lord. How come? He died for them. He paid their hell for them. He loves them more than he loved his own life. Who's the person who's getting joy? The Lord. Because he loved them and died for them and is going to take them to heaven. What a big deal that is. Okay? What a big deal that is. So the joy of the Lord is the joy of the Lord is our strength. And what gives God joy? Someone being saved. You want to have a great day? Show someone how to go to heaven. You want to have a great day? Tell someone how to be saved. You want to have a great day? Plan it out on your break, on your lunch hour. Hey, man, what are you doing at lunch? Can I talk to you about something? Yeah, sure. Okay. You'll be wondering, what are you going to talk to me about? And then ask him, hey, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? Or would you have a doubt? Can I take a few minutes and show you how you can go to heaven? Well, I don't know how to do that. Okay, then learn. We'll give you a free Bible college course for free. Go to FamilyBaptistBibleInstitute.com. Click Get Started, get your course. It'll automatically be loaded up in there. 26 lessons, personal evangelism course. Oh, I don't have that much time. Okay, go to this, www.5-16-30.com. It's me giving the plan of salvation. Open it up, play it with your friend. It's 10 minutes long. You can do that at lunch and make sure they're saved. You want to have strength? You want to have a great day? Start out with the Bible. Start out with the Word of God, reading, listening, hearing it. Number two, show someone how to go to heaven. Show someone how to go to heaven. Number three, I thought this was really neat. It's a longer story, but you can go read it. It's in Nehemiah chapter 8. They were reading in the seventh month, and they read in the Word of the Lord that the seventh month they were supposed to live in booths. And so immediately they built booths and lived in booths. They put them on the roof, in the streets, all over the place. The children of Israel lived in booths for 7 days. They made these booths of wood and branches and the temporary hut type thing. And why did God tell them to do that? He wanted to remind them from whence they came. He wanted to remind them where they came from. Hey, does that sound like fun, leaving your nice, warm, sealed house and bed and going to live in a booth for 7 days? Doesn't sound like fun, but listen, when you obey God, even when it doesn't sound like fun, you'll be blessed and you'll enjoy it. You'll be blessed and you'll enjoy it. Oh, I don't feel like that. I don't want to do that. Do it anyway. God said it. Do it. You'll be happy. When I surrendered to God 33 years ago, I thought I would live a boring, miserable life, but it's exactly the opposite. I have an incredible life. I have a wonderful life. I have an amazing life. How come? Because the things I didn't think would be fun, I did them because God said, and guess what? Wow. I had no idea life could be this good. Amen. Hey, you want to have a great day? Start it off hearing, listening to the Bible. I talk to people often say, how hard is it to sit down and watch a 2-hour movie? Oh, it's not hard at all. How hard is it to sit down and read the Bible for 2 hours? Oh, that's hard. Okay, then listen to it for 2 hours. Listen to it and see how much it'll help you and change your life, okay? You want to have a great day? Start it with the Bible. Number two, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Show someone how to go to heaven. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them how much Jesus loves them and will save them. And number three, obey it even if it doesn't seem fun or good. You'll be blessed and you'll enjoy it. Hey, God bless you. Have a great week. Be kind to everyone because everyone's having a tough time. And get wisdom for your life. It is the principal thing. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Wisdom for Life podcast. If you have any questions for us, email us at askpastorbaker@gmail.com and we will answer them in an upcoming podcast. The email is askpastorbaker@gmail.com.